Right before this episode starts, if you want to enter in a giveaway for a $100 to $200 mic, go vote for me for the Rode and Anchor competition. We're trying to get to 100 votes, so that ensures that the giveaway happens. So if you want to win a microphone, vote for me and tell everyone that you know to also vote as well. The link is in the episode notes. Welcome back to another episode of Hype Life. In this episode, we're going to be going over the history of Gucci, and not only like what the creators in the collections had to do with Gucci, but also the history of the logos, including Gucci. Let's get right into this. So Gucci was founded on March 26th, 1881, and it was founded by his last name, which comes from the brand name, Gucci. So he was a porter at the Savory Hotel in London when he first became kind of recognized. Well, not exactly recognized, but he started like really getting in the business when he saw the suitcases that guests arrived from all over the globe. So basically, to his familiar roots, he eventually returned to Florence, where he first was born and raised, and he started to get to work for Francie, which is a Tony luggage brand. So years later, Gucci was ready to strike out on his own. So in 1921, he opened his own leather goods store in Florence. So in the beginning, Gucci's main business was making sandals and other accessories for horseback riders, especially since this was in the 1800s. A lot of times, I mean, the car was just getting invented, right? And so, or not even invented, but basically it was like the introduction of cars when Gucci kind of first came around, and a lot of people were getting back on horses. So it actually started out as a horseback riding company, or slash like in just a leather goods for horses, basically. So his designs actually gained popularity as he expanded further into the world of accessories. So with English aristocrats becoming major fans of the up and coming label, so even today, this flair can be seen in Gucci's modern creations, including like the horse bit detail in the red and green woven stripe, inspired by this saddle design detail. So like I said, with Gucci, they haven't really changed. They haven't really modernized their products. So stuff from the 1920s and even back into the 1800s. Looks like it's still in that period that even, items produced today look exactly like it's been produced, close to, 100 years ago. So anyway, so they also had this other thing, which was their big thing is their monogram besides the regular one, but their kind of main feature that people know them as is the red and green stripe, which is actually inspired and still continuing this day because of this saddle detail. So Gucci enlisted his three sons into the brand, Aldaldo, Vasco, and Rodolphe, to join his business in 1938. And they were their task with expanding the brand's presence and bringing Gucci to Rome and eventually Milan years later. So the leather was hard to come by in the mid-1930s because of different like sanctions and different rules that Italy had to offer. But so Gucci actually been experimenting with other textiles. So this was really led to a very signature Gucci print, which was the interconnected diamonds into a dark pattern, or aka their monogram. And so the first bag they made, which kind of was the staple piece in their new monogram in different textiles, was the bamboo bag, which was born in under kind of similar circumstances in 1947. So Gucci artists were scrambling to find materials toward the end of World War II, and discovered they could use actually Japanese bamboo to craft these bag handles. So treated with unique and patterned methods, these burnished bamboo handles became Just basically a sign of Gucci. And as you can see today, it's like, aside from like Louis Vuitton, because Louis Vuitton's basically canvas and leather products, but Gucci, you can find leather, you can find like so many textiles in Gucci rather than other brands. And it's just because there was not a lot of leather to come by in Italy, and it was very expensive for him to go drive out to another country that did, you know, allow like a lot of leather to be, you know, handed in. So anyway, so in 1953, just 15 days after Gucci's first New York boutique opened its doors, sadly, Gucci passed away. But despite Gucci's kind of random death, his brand continued to flourish, and the Gucci's arrival into U.S. was embraced by American consumers. So the decade following was a golden era for Gucci, thanks for celebrities who began proudly supporting its designs. I mean, literally, as you can see, there's many pictures, I mean, even today, of just, there's tons of famous icons that are going with Gucci, and that's really what they, I mean, puts them ahead to probably one of the top places in designer goods, because they're very known for, just tons of famous people. I mean, I believe some famous people today is like Harry Styles and Billie Eilish really support them. So it's really cool because they really, like, celebrities that go with them have been going, they've been going back tons of years, I mean decades, almost probably half a century. So it's just something, that's also something really unique to Gucci. So Elizabeth Taylor and Peter Sellers were both fans of Gucci's totes. Actually, Jackie Kennedy carried a Gucci purse in public, and then the bag was swiftly and officially renamed the Jackie. So Grace Kelly stopped into a Gucci store to pick up a bamboo bag as a token of his gratitude to Gucci's sons and Gucci himself. To design a floral scarf for the Prince of Monaco. So the resulting print was actually known as the Flora. It's a Gucci sign signature that features 43 types of flowers, plants, and insects depicted through the vivid array of 37 colors. The logo of two interlocking G's, which also introduced during this time, was definitely a nod back to Gucci, because since his initials are GG, they started to make that, and it's still actually continuing today, if you know it. So, fast forward a lot. So In the 70s, so Gucci looked to the east, putting down roots in Tokyo and then Hong Kong. But the golden era seemed to be actually over. So the Gucci brothers were constantly fighting, even though the brand debuted their first ready-to-wear collection in 1981. So at the point, Rodolfo's son, Rezzo, I said that wrong, but anyway, his one of the Gucci's basically grandsons had taken over his uncle Aldo, so bringing the house close to bankruptcy. It seemed like it was going to be the end of Gucci, but it was time to revive Gucci. So they started begin with like an appointment of Don Mello as their creative director. This is really when creative directors kind of came in. They've only been around for kind of since the 80s, maybe 70s. So this is when Gucci introduced their creative director. So he joined the house in 1989, and he brought with her a major team. So it was Richard Lamberson as design director, Neil Barrett, which is designing menswear, and Tom Ford as the women's ready-to-wear designer. So, as you know, Tom Ford is also another designer brand. So, they also brought him, actually, into designing in partially, kind of, they're all sharing creative director, sort of. So, under Melo's charge, the original Gucci loafer was reworked into a rainbow of colors to much fanfare. So sadly, much of the older designs were not well received, and Melo returned to her crusty role, crusty role in Barrel Dolls in 1994. So sadly, they didn't get as recognized as before. But that's a fight. So anyway, it's actually a fact that Tom Ford has been celebrated Gucci as an actual savior, and rightly so, because I mean he became Gucci's creative director when Gucci was so low, and it really boosted their brand. Such as, you know, Tom Ford's very, very well known to have very nice products. I mean, they've done great as a brand. Not as big as like Louis Vuitton or Gucci will ever be, but that was a very smart move and a very lucky move they got Tom Ford. So, like I said, they celebrated, that was literally what Gucci needed, their savior. So when he became Gucci's creative director, in the wake of Melo's departure, this designer influenced the brand with kind of like appeal that at the time it couldn't find on or anywhere on the runway. It was very the way that they created the dresses, the way they created the clothes were very different, and that's really what set aside Gucci from any brand. It was definitely very different than they could actually buy. So as his star rose, so Ford brought with him a next generation of fashion masterminds. So including Carnane, which goes to Ghost Style with Mario Tenesso as his preferred photographer. So together, they both revolutionized the high fashion advertising with plenty of, flawless designs. In definitely in the 90s, I like the designs in the 90s. They're very similar now, but that's really kind of what turned the century over from, their monogram kind of introduced. They were kind of forced to make their monogram. And then now, that kind of was a turning point in the 1930s when they created their monogram. Then after that, Tom Ford comes in and Melo comes in, and they totally flip the brand into like color designs, and you'll see a lot of Gucci's either very dull looking, which is not exactly a bad thing, and what I kind of mean it, or very, very colorful. So let's continue on. So during transition into Gucci, so another person got into Gucci and kind of worked aside Tom Ford, which is Galani. She kind of abandoned Ford's way of designing in all of this very out of the way stuff that not a lot of designer companies. So she totally went the other way than Ford. So basically, she seemed to be consistent in the revival mode. So revamping the iconic flora print. So she put a signature on the red and green stripe, refreshing the bamboo bag, which is a great move since bamboo bag was it was a classic, but they needed to rework, and that's kind of what Louis Vuitton does. Whenever a print or a bag seems to be dulling after, tens of years, and it just needs to be modernized, that's what they'll do. So she basically did the same thing that a lot of companies did. So there was a bit of drama during Galani's time. So in 2011, she disclosed that she had been secretly involved in a two-year relationship with Gucci's CEO at the time. So this came plenty of kind of speculation around, you know, rumor relationship. And so in 2013, they welcomed a daughter of that actually eventually, and they eventually got married 2 years later. So anyway, Gulani's time at Gucci was immortalized in The Director, a documentary that followed Gulani around for 18 months. In fact, Michelle can actually be spotted on the film working as a director alongside his preceder. So through nearly camouflaged in the low-key black suit, so Gulani's approach kept fans and critics interested for a while, but her collections became mundane and a kind of mid wanting sales and lackluster reviews. She was actually laid off a few days later. DeMarco was also ushered out, so they were both kicked out, surprisingly. But yeah, so to continue, so when Gucci announced that Michelle would be taking over 2015, it seemed like if they had plucked from obscurity for such important role. So however, had he been working with the company for over 12 years and was ready to jump right in for his first big move, he tossed Gulani's final men's collection and completed the redesign. It was just 5 days before the creations were seen on the Fall, or FW15, that also stands for Fall / Winter of 2015 runway. So 1 month later, his first women's wear collection was actually on the Milan runway, and assistantly was a, I mean, it was a big success, and this is where they start, like, really coming back from not being so popular to be, I mean, being really, all of a sudden, just kind of popping up. So after his appointment, so Ford said of Michelle, so he said that, so Ford said he was a great handbag designer when he worked with me. He continued to live up to that reputation, but has made a mark far beyond just great purses. In the four years since stepping up as creative director, he had turned Gucci into a maximalistic dream with collections that seemed to seep from his imagination and indirectly, and then onto the designed runway. With crystals, vibrant color schemes, baby dragons and fake heads, plus endless pop culture references into the insane understanding of social consciousness. Mikhail had returned to Gucci into the it status, into the it status it held under four. So, Mikhail was, admired by everyone, including Ford, which was, they did things very differently, but they still shared actually a lot of kind of similarities, I would say. And so it's kind of like there's no rivalry between them two, but they are definitely very different but very similar in the same way. So in fact, while the state of moving for things was a constant creation, so he actually had still found a kind of way to kind of pay back through the brand's past, because it was very swept under the rug. So under his direction, the Gucci Garden was created in Florence. Florence's historic Palazzo della Marzina in 2018, alongside Gucci's Australia, Austria da Masmerita Borta. It's just basically a restaurant that was entirely in the brand's wares and boutique. It is also a museum that traces Gucci back to the beginning, seen through his ornate, lens. In rich history of this Italian brand, with the present, and offering solid proof that there's plenty more history to be written at Gucci instead of just like I said, swept on the rug. It was very not, the past was not really recognized more as its present. And so that kind of brings us to the next topic. We're going to be going over the logos next. So we're going to be going over the earlier logos and kind of like the history behind that. Let's get into that right away. So the first set of logos are mainly from the 1920s. Now there's one that does go into the 30s, actually 1934, which we'll be going over. But these are kind of from the 1920s, early 1920s to early 1930s. So the first one was really simple. So this logo just said G.Gucci, which just stands for Gucci's name, and C, which I believe, which I actually don't know, but that was kind of the main logo. Then it basically said a bunch of things, like listing of what the company is. It was a very basic logo, and it was kind of this cream colorway with dots around the edges of this. So a little background knowledge. We'll go over a bit of background knowledge after these first set of logos have been applied, but that was the first one in 1922. Now in 1923, which is probably my favorite back then, it was in this cursive. It said just said Gucci in it, but it's like this very, very cool cursive, I would say. And it's really cool because the first one was it looked from the 1800s, but then a year later, it totally modernized it. And it definitely looks, this is probably one of my favorite of the older logos. Now I do have a little bit more favorites, but this is definitely from the first section of logos. This is definitely my favorite. Now the other one is also really cool. It has G.Gucci, which is just, labeling his name in 1929. And then it's kind of like in a dream. If you guys know who J. Cole is, he created Dream. He was part of Dreamville, and it kind of looks like the same font they use because they have the line that goes over the Gucci. It's cursive, so it goes to the eye, and then the eye flows into a line that goes back, which is pretty cool. And then 1934, this one I don't like as much. It's like, it looks like, people at a hotel that just bring up your clothes, suitcase and stuff, and then under that says Gucci, which is kind of cool because this is really where, Gucci was first starting because they first started, Gucci really got his influence through the different bags and, clothing that, customers will come into the hotel with. So that is actually the last one. So it was 1922 through 1934. So a bit of background knowledge. So Gucci was a actually from, like I said, from Florence. Had spent his part of the youth working at the Hotel London, basically where he learned all the taste and all the kind of tasks of what luxury products kind of took. So back in Florence, he opened up his first workshop. He began producing luxury suitcases and also kind of horse products, I guess you could say. It was actually first identified, like I said, with a simple label of the name Gucciano, Gucci, and the references in the dress. So, like I said, the 1923 logo was created in italics, inspired by the signature of the founder. That was very quite simple and neutral, to which in 1929 was added a few flusters by putting Gucciano's, I think that's how you say it, a G before his surname. This logo was remained one of the longest running for the brand. It was used throughout Galani's trencher. So it was, even though it was not the current logo, It was definitely used for a long time. But in 1934, a tall and edgy one was introduced, which it was an elegant hotel porter that appeared when his little Marzina and his two suitcases in his hand. The unusual brand did not last long because of the short. In short, it became basis of the next logo of the mansion. So a little bit of background about those. The second one, which was, or third one, I guess you could say, which was made in 1929, which just had G. Dot Gucci, was, I mean, it lasted the longest, of course. So the next one, which is the Age of Knights, and this lasted from 1955 to 1992. So the first one, it has a embroidered, I want to say this is like an embroidered, kind of like a shield, and then inside there's a knight. On top there's a banner that says Gucci. This was actually created in 1955, beginning the Age of Knights. The second one, which is the same logo, but it was smaller, and then right to the right says Gucci on it. This was in 58, so 3 years later, they kind of just revamped it and just kind of added stuff to it. The next one, which is in 1972, I mean, it lasted. The second one, which is just the revamped of the original in 1958, lasted close to actually almost 20 years. And this time it was a shortened version of that shield logo, but then under it said Gucci instead of to the side in 1971. And that's the end since of that. So it's really cool. And then, of course, the 70s lasted until the 90s, and then that's when they took over a new logo. So, in the 1950s, the brand looked quite different, as I said. The logos looked very different, rather than just simple Gucci. Not only logo, but just said the words Gucci, basically, on it. It was definitely different, very more complicated. The first boutique in Milan was opened in 1951, and then a New York location also in 1933 that transferred the power to the death of Gucciano's in the hands of his son's Aldo took place that same year. Two main events that took place on the level of the logo was the first. The first one was actually the actual logo. With the label that replaced the knight in Hildreth Field, which held the same suitcases as the bellboy in the 1930s logo that we said, which was the latest of the first era. So evoking a word much higher than that of hotels, so with on its head, a rose in a rudder to symbolize aesthetics, and commercialized a dudacy. I think I said that wrong. Anyway, the second was that the double G was designed by Aldo Gucci in the 1960s, spread over scarves, suitcases, and accessories of all kinds. In 1958, however, under the knight, returned to the name Gucci in a linear and spaced character, which then became more full-bodied in equipment with things until 1971, was the birth of the brand's modern logo for the next literally 21 years, just about that final logo really lasted, and it lasted such a long time. And part of the reason why it lasted so long is because, people really was interested in it. People obviously liked it, and that's why they kept it. But it was also because it was very different. I'm checking out the pictures now, and this is something like, if you go back to the other age, it was literally just simple text. That's literally what it was. First logo in 1923 just said Gucci on it. Another one in 1929 said G Gucci. And the other one was sort of complicated, but it was just a bellhop with underneath said Gucci. And that was the most complicated it really got into until the 1950s, which is they discovered that people do like complicated. I mean, the other two logos didn't really last too long. They only lasted a couple years. But that first kind of more complicated logo actually lasted over 20 years, or just about 20 years, until the 1955 logo came in, which was the Knight. And all they did was just make some changes to it that they liked more. And that's all that really happened in the age of Knights. And it really brings truth that they don't have to just add text. Now in the last era, which is the modern age, they definitely did revamp it so that it would be not necessarily as it would be complicated, but it's kind of in the middle. It's not just text, but it's also there's a physical logo in there, which I think is really cool. So let's actually look into the modern age. So the modern age lasts since 1992 to 2019. So we're hopefully in the next years of Gucci we'll find a new age of logos. But so let's look at the one in 1992. So the one in 1992, this print still gets used today on t-shirts and whatnot and sweatshirts. So it says Gucci on it with a Gucci kind of text, I would say. And then right below it, it's two G's interlocking, and they're both flipped. So this one's really cool. This was also released in 1992. So this one is still being used, being almost 40 years. Think about that. I keep thinking it's 40. It's 30 years, sorry. 30 years ago, they created this logo and it's still being used today. And really Gucci found out that, okay, maybe not too complicated, but just enough where it's not just, you know, the name Gucci. It's you can add an actual image basically of a logo instead. So that was the first one. Now the next one, which was just kind of double space, I guess to say, just Gucci, which they also use for all their stores, I believe. It just has the same print on it, which was invented in 1998. Then in 2019, which is most recent one, which is a double G's, but this time instead of them being mirrored, they're facing the same way. They also are actually interlocking. This is most seen on belts, and they're just kind of over. They're basically just overlapping G's. So a little bit of this logo area. So over time, the monogram of the double G became increasingly famous. As you can see, many celebrities and many people really that. Anytime you see the double G logo, you know it's Gucci right away, or a fake, but either way, you recognize it as Gucci. It became famous and was actually reproposed in an infinite number of different forms and versions. So finally, in the early 1990s, the double G became officially part of the logo and the brand. And they remained the same until Tom's form, Helm of the Mason, which introduced a version only the most tapered and spaced out characters at the time. Letters and characters. So at the time, the logo was printed on the back label, but only when the arrival of Mattel in 2015, which is the most recent until 2019, I guess you could say. They expanded on the label and turned white. So the latest innovation introduced by Mattel in 2019 is a new version of the double G, kind of in quotes double G, with the two overlapping in the right orientated characters. So unlike the original monogram, which they were mirrored, now this one was just a different version of the 1990s kind of version of it. So that was a bit of a rundown of kind of all of the logos in Gucci. Now, they've created many collections. I've created many videos, I mean, not videos, podcast episodes about Gucci, including why I don't like Gucci, which I've changed my mind on that, I'll say that. TNF collaboration with Gucci. So I've definitely done a lot, and with their collaborations, they do such a great job, and they paid attention to very good, like, simple details, I would say, that kind of make the brand worth of buying, because it's a little bit of everyone, I would say, more than ever, I would say that. So, so basically, if you want to see any of this information, I took these from, just kind of the first sites, but you can search up logos by just searching, you know, history of Gucci logos, or you can just search up, you know, 1920s logos. So that's really where I got that from. Now I got the history of Gucci, which I first, which was kind of the main episode was about, from crfashionbook.com. And also we posted in the notes of this episode if you do want to check out them. And where I got the history of Gucci logos, which is nssmag.com, which I'll also post. If you guys do want to check out their website, they have some really great resources of information about the Gucci logos, but also great pictures of what they did look like in the future. So real quick, if you do want to win a $100 to $200 mic I'll be giving out, I definitely suggest you go vote for me. And if you have anyone that would want to win a microphone that is worth hundreds of dollars, I would also tell, you know, friends and family about to vote as well. The note and all that will be in the podcast notes as well. So go check out that. And I really want to have more guests in the show. So if you're interested in being a guest, also email me at hypelifepodcast@gmail.com. That'll also be in the notes. Everything will be in the notes. So go check out that at the end of this podcast episode. And yeah, I guess that's kind of a wrap up. So thanks for watching this episode of Hype Life. I'll see you in the next one.